Well, that's a good introduction to where we're trying to go these last several services. And we kind of switched gears a little bit last night to begin looking at the second work of grace and seeing the holiness of heart that the Lord wants to give us. And we saw last night from John 17, this is the greatest desire of Jesus' heart for you as a believer. There isn't anything he wanted more in the disciples' lives than to purify their hearts, fill them with his spirit, and allow them to be the servants that he intended them to be to build his church on this earth. And nothing's changed. If you want to be all that you can be to serve Jesus on this earth and build his kingdom, you need to be filled with the spirit, you need to be cleansed of heart, and you need to be walking with Jesus fully and completely and get yourself out of the way. God wants to work through us, and I believe he wants to do that. Tonight, I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and I've entitled the message, A Fresh Vision of the Enemies of Holiness. And actually, this is going to be kind of a series of three messages, kind of culminating a little bit tomorrow night, and then finishing up probably Sunday night, as I'll probably go a different direction Sunday morning. If you're a more positive thinker, maybe a better title for this might be, we need a fresh vision of the simplicity of faith. Because the devil is doing everything he can to keep us out of this blessing. And the thing about it is, the devil's way is always the wrong way. The devil's way is always the difficult way. The devil's way is always a different way than God wants you to go. And if we're not careful, the devil's way will eventually lead us to a dangerous destination, which we don't want to go. And so whatever title you want to use here, whether it's a fresh vision of the enemies of holiness, that's what I'm calling it, or a fresh vision of the simplicity of faith, I'm hoping they both lead to the same direction. So if you have your Bibles and you've turned to Galatians 3, if you're able, I'd like you to stand with me for the reading of it. We'll read verses 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn from you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? I heard an evangelist one time say that, if I can get this right, he said 5% of people think, 10% of people think they think, and the rest would rather die than think. I'm asking you to do your best tonight to be part of the 5% to think. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love your word, and we love your truth, and we love your spirit, and we love what you want done in our lives. We love what you want done in this world. We love the fact that you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. And Lord, we're loving you for your forgiving grace and your sanctifying grace and your keeping grace. We love you because, Lord, you send your Spirit to abide in us and guide us and strengthen us and comfort us. And, Lord, everything we need for life and godliness, you've given us. And Peter made that plain. And so, Lord, we praise you for that tonight. But we also recognize that there is an evil one. There is a devil, an adversary, someone who, Lord, wants to take us from the path, take us out of the way that you have planned for your people. So, Lord, tonight, as we begin to deal with some of these enemies of holiness, I pray that you would help us indeed to think through. And, Lord, reason through what really makes sense. What would a God of love do in all this? Would he make it some hard program, or would he make it a very simple thing? It seems to me he would make it as easy as possible. I think the devil likes to make it hard. So, Lord, would you help us tonight to glorify your name? Speak to our hearts. Have your way in everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And what I want to do over the next couple nights, in particular, and again Sunday night, is to make us aware of some of the areas, especially these first two nights, of doctrinal confusion that we face in our day. And I want to do my best to show you that holiness, that of heart as a way of life, isn't just a matter of the opinion of Multnomah Holiness Camp Meeting, and not just the opinion of the Evangelical Church, or the Nazarene Church, or the Wesleyan Church, or the 3CU Church, or the Missionary Church, or any other holiness group. And I know that in this day of political correctness in this world, that if you take a stand against something, for instance, if you take a stand against abortion, if you take a stand against homosexuality, that you're going to pretty much be named a bigot, unloving, a homophobe, a fool, and you can put whatever name on the line you want to, but that's what you're going to be in the world. It doesn't matter if our hearts are open to all those people. It doesn't matter if we're welcoming gay people in our church, trying to get them saved and get them delivered from the sin they're living in. We can open up our hearts and doors, but if you say you can't live that way, well, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot, and you're no good. Well, there is also a political correctness, I believe, that has entered into the church world in these days, and I think is more and more creeping into the holiness denomination. And so that if you come to a group of people such as I am tonight and say to them something absolutely definite like, without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. And if you're dogmatic about that and you say, this is it, as Max Morgan used to say, you're either going this way or you're not going, you are also now in the church world branded unloving, a bigot, mean, unloving, and so forth. But what I want to do over these next few messages is let you know that there is a lot of error in this world, and I want to let you know that there is only one way to heaven, and it's a highway. Isaiah 35 makes it clear, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. And because of that, and that highway of holiness is entered into by faith. And because it's entered into by faith, you don't have to know every detail theologically. You don't have to perfectly understand every detail about the doctrine. But in your heart, you must have it. And in your life, you must live it. For without it, Hebrews, no man shall see the Lord. But friends, truth is truth. It just is. And truth is according to fact. It's not something that just comes up. The Bible does not create truth. The Bible simply reveals the truth that already existed before it was ever written down on paper. And it's important that we know the truth so that nothing can sway us away and get us into an area of compromising the truth. And friends, truth is revealed to us in God's Word. And I don't know about other preachers here, but every time I stand in a pulpit, every time I prepare a message, I tediously think through that because it's very important that I'm right. I do not want to stand in my pulpit with guesswork, hoping I'm on the right direction, hoping I'm saying the right things, hoping I'm leading people down the right path. I feel like I have to. I mean, I'm going to stand before God someday and give an account for what I've preached, and so I'm very careful to think through what I am going to share. Now, friends, if I understand the devil right, he is very interested in truth, and I believe he is very interested in holiness. Not that we understand it, not that we experience it, but that we miss it. He's very interested in that. And maybe I just need to say to you as I begin this message tonight, when I refer to the term holiness, in particular tonight, I am specifically talking about entire sanctification. I am talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am talking about that second definite work of grace in our hearts when we're cleansed from all sin instantaneously by the blood of Jesus through faith in the cross of Jesus and what he has done there, resulting in a pure heart. Now, that was a long sentence. I hope you got it. Now, as I said, Satan is very interested in this work of God, and he's interested in it because it destroys his most effective work in our hearts. Friends, listen, the greatest thing, the greatest evil ever done to man was what the devil did in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. And friends, listen, we need to remember that the devil is not playing games with us, is he? I mean, he has one purpose, and that purpose is to send every one of our souls to hell. Now, we preached about hell Monday night. Friends, again, I say it, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to go to hell for anything, and I'm going to do everything I can to get out of there. But that's his one changing goal for you in this world, for me, for you, even for Jesus. He just doesn't want anybody to enjoy fellowship with God, relationship with God, commune with God. And if he can keep us from enjoying that forever, that's exactly what he's going to do. And he's going to do everything in his means to keep us from it. And friends, the greatest way for him to do that and to get that done was to put in our hearts a bent. And every truly Christian domination believes this, will say it, but to plant in our natures by deception and by man's choice a nature that would agree with his way of thinking. We call it carnality, depravity. Theologically, it's called original sin. The Bible calls it an evil heart of unbelief, a sinful nature. David put it this way. He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All denominations agree about that. In other words, as the Bible says, we are all born sinful with a nature in us. And listen, friends, the devil did a masterful job at this. I mean, he was clever, so good that every person in this world, other than Christ, was born with this nature in them. Everyone but Christ. And because of it, every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's as the hymn, The Child of the King, says in verse 3, we are sinners by choice and aliens by birth. But friends, this nature is evil, and if not for the fact of God's prevenient grace and the strivings of the Holy Spirit with our soul, every one of us would end up in hell without a chance in this world. That's how evil this nature is. It says in Romans 8:7, as I have quoted several times this week, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it's not subject to the will of God. And here's the kicker. And neither indeed can be. There's no getting along. There's no correcting it. There's no smoothing it over. There's no covering up. This nature is going to fight God, fight God, fight God, fight God. And there's nothing else it's ever going to do. It's not going to hide itself. It's not going to lower its strength. It's not going to lessen its enmity. It will be that way forever. That's its very nature. And we see back there in the garden, Adam and Eve make a 180-degree turn. Here they were, created by a holy God to be holy. And friends, they were. And they were made to love God with all their heart, and they did. And they were there to have fellowship with God, follow God, walk with God, and all of that. And that's also exactly what they did. But when the enemy of their souls came and they obeyed his will instead of God's will concerning the fruit of the tree, they headed away from God just as fast as they could, hiding from his very presence. Listen, the very presence the day before they longed to have. And let me just stop here and not preach a sermon on it, but let me mention it. Friends, one of the easiest ways you can tell that something wrong is going on in your soul between you and the Lord is when you want to miss church, you don't want to have your devotions, you don't want to have prayer time, because there's something again in you that just doesn't want to be with him. And you better be careful when that starts to happen in your life and run to Jesus as fast as you can. And friends, I say it again, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the atonement of Christ, Adam and Eve would have gone into oblivion. You understand what I'm saying? If depravity had its logical end, if it went unchecked, we'd all get beyond the realm of savability if it was just left to carnality itself, because it fights God. It doesn't want anything to do with Him. In fact, I didn't think about it till just now, just standing up here and preaching this truth, carnality doesn't even want me to go down this road. And if you're sitting here tonight already saying, man, oh, here he goes preaching holiness again, I'm telling you, you better get to the altar and get that out. Because this is God's blessing and this is God's truth. This is what he wants to do in our lives and our hearts. He wants to purify us and fill us with his love for him and our neighbor as ourselves and all that. But friends, again, if God wouldn't have put that floor of prevenient grace and a conscience in us for the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of, we wouldn't have a chance, not one of us. Now, friends, John says in the gospel in his letters, these things are written, this whole book, that you might believe. And friends, the thing God has done over and over and over again in the Bible is trying to get us to open up our hearts, knock down the walls of unbelief and of sin and resistance, and get us to open our door, our heart to Him by faith. That's what this whole book is all about. You see, God wants us to love Him with all of our hearts. Love is the end of the commandment. That's what He wants. Love toward God. Love toward one another. A proper love concerning oneself. And the devil is doing all he can to keep us from that. And to help us and try to get us to keep part of our love back to ourselves. And he's doing all he can. And he's never going to give up as long as we're on this earth. There was a sign in a church one time that said this: something that is almost true is still wrong. And friends, that's true. And if the devil can't get us away from hearing the word of God and holiness, he'll go try to get us to go to some church where they don't believe it, some church where it won't preach it, some church where it won't seek in, or he'll try to sidetrack you, but the one goal in mind is to keep you from the cross. Friends, what the devil did to Jesus in the wilderness, all of those three temptations were to keep him from the cross. Make bread, do it yourself, have your own religion. You know, they're all still real today, the pinnacle. Jump off the pinnacle, all that emotional. The people will flock around you. I'll give you the cities, it's prosperity and all that. You can have it. All of that was to keep Christ from the cross. And friends, listen. That's what the devil wants to do to you and I. Any means he can. Now, we live in a day of much doctrinal instability. There are so many men and so many women in pulpits today, and there are so many books that have so much partial truth, and many of our people get sidetracked. In fact, my brother John and I talk about this. We're so sick of some of the books our people read, because here we are trying to preach holiness, and they're reading these books, and they're listening to these guys on TV that are not preaching it. In fact, oftentimes preach against it. And here we are trying to lead people into holiness, and they're caught up in this other stuff, and it's frustrating, to be honest with you. But friends, every change of truth makes it an error. Every change of truth makes it an error. Now, being carnal makes us susceptible, whatever, to that. And so come the Mormons, and so come the Seventh-day Adventists, and so come the Jehovah's Witness, and those that focus on outward signs and so forth. And many people are swindled and swayed away from truth. And then you come into the Christian circles, and you have those that focus on tongues, and those that focus on works, and those that focus on eternal security. And the one thing all those doctrines have in common, and the devil knows this, as that they will keep you from experiencing the work of Christ in our heart that cleanses us and delivers us from all sin. That's why the bookstores are filled with books on how to manage anger, because Jesus can't deliver us from it anymore. And how to deal with lust, because Jesus can't deal with it anymore. And friends, there are so much and so much has permeated our society that today's church world, by and large, has become like the priests and the prophets of Jeremiah's day, where it says they healed the hurt of the people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And friends, there is nothing Satan fears more than a believer to be made whole, to be made clean, sanctified, holy, filled with the Spirit, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so he seeks to blind us as Christians to this provision of this cure, this cleansing, this filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, with the devil's help and the devil's ally within the carnal man, he is always fooled into trying to establish his own righteousness rather than submit to the righteousness of God. And really, I'm amazed. I'm amazed because, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, a lot of us kind of go through this sometimes in a small way in one way or another. But I'm amazed that the Jews, I'm amazed that in my area, the Amish, still trying to get it by works. They're trying to be everything God wants them to be by works. The Amish in our area, they believe that they can't even know if they're going to heaven or not. So they're doing work after work after work, trying, and hopefully they'll do enough to make it. Friends, that's not good and with me. And I'm amazed at the Catholic Church with their penance and their purgatory. And many Protestant churches that have fallen into the same trap, the same error, trying to be what God wants to make us, which is holy in heart, holy in life, by works. Now, friends, we have a great physician. Did you know that? His name is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And whenever we move away from the great physician, we end up in the hands of another physician. Either the devil or one of his PAs, you know, a physician assistant, one of his minions. And what I want to do, at least tonight in one other message, is to begin to make us aware of other doctors out there that are offering us a cure for what only Jesus Christ, the great physician, can do in this area of cleansing. That Jesus, may I say it, is well able to do in this area of cleansing by faith in him. And so I've read these few verses of Galatians because I think this is the first substitute doctor for holiness. And I want to just stop here and give credit to an old book by, I couldn't remember the name of it. When I preached this last time, I remembered it, wrote it down, by a fellow named Knapp called Double Cure. And in that book, he lists all these doctors, and I haven't read the book for years and years. I don't even have it anymore, but I got the idea of this message from him, so I want to give him credit for that. But friends, I know some of these truths might apply to getting saved, but this area of works, listen, if we don't understand these substitutes, and especially the substitute of works, you'll end up discouraged, disappointed, frustrated, and what I see all too often is people quit seeking this holiness of heart work in their hearts by faith because they keep trying it by works, and you can never get there. They're trying and trying and trying. Friends, works aren't the answer. And so we look at this first doctor called Dr. Works. And friends, I'm amazed at the Christian church as a whole and amazed that those same people who will argue over being saved by faith and not by works, not one person would argue with that here, would they? Would anybody say we're saved by works here? Nobody would say that you're saved by grace through faith unless you find something to boast about and say, look what I did, look what I accomplished. No, we know we're not saved that way. And really, all the true church shouldn't argue that point, right? We can't save ourselves. We know that. But here's the absolute amazing thing to me. The very same people that will talk to you about when we talk to them about being cleansed from all sin, about being sanctified holy, about being purified in heart, purged of sin, cleansed in soul, that's by some other method than instantaneously by faith in the blood of Jesus. That somehow Jesus has the power to wash away our sins, the power to give us new life, the power to make us new creations, the power through his Spirit to keep us from sinning as a habit of life. But that same Jesus and that same blood does not have the power to clean up my heart. Now that just doesn't even make sense to me. And I think Paul felt a little of that right here as we look at that fourth verse of our passage, which we didn't read. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? In other words, haven't you learned anything yet? Weren't you saved by faith? You see, friends, the Bible teaches over and over and over again that we can be sanctified people, pure people, sanctified in heart. It talks about having a clean heart. It talks about having a pure heart. It talks about having a holy heart. And all words that really bring you and have to logically bring you to the conclusion that there is nothing in that heart that is unholy. I mean, can it be clean and dirty at the same time? No. Can it be pure and impure at the same time? No. Can it be holy and unholy at the same time? Absolutely not. In fact, in Matthew 5:8, we know that it's in the present tense. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's a present experience. And so, friends, only Jesus can make the heart clean. Only the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, can cleanse us from all sin. And the devil knows that, and so he's going to offer you another physician and a doctor he was offering to the Galatian church and to so many churches and so many Christians today. Is Dr. Works. And friends, here's the thing about substitutes concerning the work of God in our hearts. They all fall short of the real thing. And you remember this was the very problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. You know, all their rules. You can't walk too far on Sunday. You can't lift anything on Sunday. It doesn't matter if Jesus comes up to you and you've laid there for 38 years and he heals you and you take up your mat and walk. Nope, you can't do that. That's works. How stupid is that? But those very things that were supposed to not be done, that weren't supposed to be works, in turn, turned those things that were no works into works of salvation. Have you ever thought about that? You had to not do that, don't do those works, but by not doing those works, they thought they were earning their way of salvation. It's just crazy thinking. And friends, it's never changed. And instead of allowing Jesus Christ to come down upon our souls and cleanse our hearts by faith, we often come to the conclusion that, well, if I do this and I do that, the cleansing will come. But friends, it won't. Because it's only by the blood and faith in Jesus. Remember what I said. That enmity, you can't smooth it over. You can't make it better. You can't change its nature. It's always going to be there. And unless it's touched and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it will always be there and it will fight you so you can work your silly head off. And so we get this prescription from the other doctor that if we just read our Bibles a little more and if we just spend a little more time in prayer, and if we just go to church more, that somehow that's going to make our hearts holy. And friends, it's such a deceitful thing because all those things are things we ought to do, right? We ought to go to church. We ought to pray. We ought to read our Bibles. We ought to serve God, testify more. We ought to go to the nursing homes. We ought to go into the streets. That's all good stuff. But friends, it can't cleanse the heart. It might make you feel better. It might make you grow spiritually some, but it's only a substitute when it comes to the heart that bypasses faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to make you clean. And it's a trick of the devil to get you off track. Friends, listen, a clean heart, this second work of grace, this being filled with the Holy Spirit, is only something God can do for you. You'll never do enough works to be clean. Friends, just like when you got saved, you know that. You know this. You cannot work your way into any aspect of salvation. Not the first work and not the second work. You can't do it. Only the great physician can take out and replace that dirty carnal heart and make it new and pure and clean and holy. Friends, it's Jesus. Run to him by faith. Run to him by faith. I thought about last night's service. And I felt like God was here and God was working. We had several at the altar praying, but I didn't feel like God had done everything he wanted to do. And the worrisome thing that came to my mind was this message. What are they going to do if they're not going to come up here and pray? Because there's no place else to go. I mean, you can go pray someplace else. I understand that. But you're not going to get this work of grace any other way than submitting yourself by faith to the blood of Jesus and saying, let the work be done in me. It's the only way. You see, these are Paul's words to the Galatian church. Are you so foolish? And he's not saying that in any mean way at all. He's saying it with all the compassion of his heart. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect or complete by flesh or by what you do with your body? Which also brings with it another suggestion and another doctrine. We'll call this one the doctor of confusion. Now, friends, don't forget, the devil just wants us to come up short of this blessing, to turn away from faith in the blood of Jesus to any other direction. He doesn't care what it is, just away from the blood of Jesus and faith in that blood to heal us anything else. See, I don't think the devil really minds if we believe in the infallibility of Scripture. And I don't really think he cares if we believe in the deity of Christ. And I don't really think he cares if we believe in the virgin birth or even the new birth, but when it comes to entire sanctification, removal of his ally, his likeness from our heart, he'll fight you tooth and nail. And for us preachers, I'm telling you, and you'll probably testify to this as well, Jim, but it's the absolute truth. He comes and tells us, man, if you preach that and if you teach that, you're going to lose everybody. Your church will never grow. You're never going to see anything happen. You won't have any friends. Your wife will leave you. The church world will fight you, and he's right about that. But he intimidates us with fearful thoughts to try to keep us from preaching this truth and teaching this truth and promoting this truth and letting people know that they need this truth in their souls. But for Christians, often, if you're sitting in church week after week, he'll do his best to confuse you about the whole thing. When it's as simple as faith in the blood of Jesus, we need a fresh vision of the simpleness of God's plan of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will do all he can do. He said that. Jesus, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he's faithful, he's called us, he will do it. But so what does the devil do? Well, first, he confuses God's created humanity with the devil's implanted carnality. I think this is the number one error that this doctor of confusion plants in people's minds. It seems like we have to fight all our lives as preachers and teachers of holiness against this. And the devil, this head, you know, physician, fake doctor confusion himself, comes and tries to associate our humanity so closely with the sinful nature that people get to the place where they can't separate the two. And so he will tell you that you can't be pure. And friends, the Calvinists have bought into this lock, stock, and barrel. You can't be pure. Why? Because you're human. Because you're in this body. Because, and sad that the King James doesn't separate the meanings of the word, but because you're in this flesh. And friends, we need to understand this error from Scripture and from logic. And so when somebody comes to you and you're dealing with somebody or out there and this with this doctrine of confusion and says, and they come to you and say, well, wait a minute, we can't be holy because we're human. We're in this flesh. As long as we're in this flesh, we can't be clean. We can't be pure. We can't live without sin. Just say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That doesn't even make sense. Who created this body? Who designed this body? Who created humanity? Was it God? And if they're any honest at all, they're going to say, yeah, yeah, God did that. And was humanity pure for a time before Adam sinned? Well, yeah, yeah. And if they believe their Bibles, they have to answer yes. Then ask, do you believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God come in the flesh? And if they believe their Bible, they're going to have to say yes. Because, friends, if he did, then humanity, and Adam was created that way, then humanity cannot be sinful, because the Bible tells us that in him was no sin, and that Adam was created in his own image. Yes, Jesus wept, Jesus hurt, Jesus had emotions, he loved, he died, but holiness and humanity is proven to be completely compatible in Jesus. Let's take it a little further. If our humanity is sinful, then God's the creator of sin. Because he created humanity. He made this flesh exactly like it is. This body exactly like it is. God made it that way. You see, friends, humanity is redeemable. Carnality is not. As it says in Romans 6:6, the old man has to be crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. God's whole program of salvation is to take our humanity and cleanse out of that humanity to the infection of carnality and restore humanity to purity, which is real humanity. Friends, that's the only thing that makes us unacceptable to God in our lives is sin. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can deal with it. It's not our finiteness. It's not our mistakes. It's not the lack of perfect memory. It's not the lack of understanding. It's not the lack of spitting out words wrongly like I've done several times already tonight. It's none of that. It's just carnality that fights him. That's what he wants to deliver us from. That big no that I talked about the other night, that's what he wants to deliver us from. And as I said, carnality is the very image of the devil in our heart. It's not the devil, but it's his very likeness of him, and not to go on and find faith in Jesus' blood to cleanse that, friends, we are just in trouble. How many of you want to live with the image of the devil in you? Because that's what carnality is. The whole scheme of the devil is doing what? Saying no to God, saying no to God, saying no to God. Hating God, hating God, hating God. And if we've got something in us like that, don't you want it out? And friends, the good news is we can have it out through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll never have the victory that God wants us to have in life until he has victory in our hearts. Dear friends, why would a Christian want to live short of total victory? Why? It's like those that like to say we're living in Romans chapter 7 and that's our everyday life, instead of moving on to chapter 8, the victorious life that's described there, or even going back to chapter 6 where we read in verse 18 that says, being made free from sin, we become servants of righteousness. And it's interesting because being made free from the sin, we become servants of righteousness. Friends, this Dr. Confusion. Don't let him work on you. Carnality is not humanity. And God, as I mentioned the other night, as Jimmy Lentz said, he isn't going to take anything out of you in sanctification that he put into you in creation. And the devil just knows, friends, that if we don't get cleansed, there's a good chance we are going to fall back over again, up and down. Maybe it'll be just in heart. Maybe it'll be just in your heart. Isn't that how they described it in Acts, you know, about the people of Israel, when it says they turned back to Egypt in their hearts? They didn't actually ever go back to Egypt, did they? They were still slowly making their way to the promised land, but in their heart, they had gone back to live in Egypt. And friends, we have so many people in our churches today that still want to live back in the old life. They don't, because they don't want to lose their souls, but in their heart they're not willing to sell out to God because they still kind of like that old life. Friends, I think the devil likes sinning Christians who believe that their all in life to do is just continue in sin, in word, thought, and deed every day, and live with the inward fight. Friends, not me. Not me. I don't want failure. I want victory. I want to love God with all my heart. I want to live as I know God with all my heart. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I do not want a constant warfare going on inside of me fighting that. I want freedom. Freedom to serve and love my Jesus with all my heart. And to be honest with you, I don't want to preach a Jesus that can't undo all in me that the devil did to me. Because if I don't preach holiness, that's what I'm left with. If I don't preach this cleansing work, I am saying that the devil did a greater work in you and me that Jesus can't, well, he can't handle that. Well, who's the winner there? Who's the God there? Who's the mighty worker there? Friends, I choose Jesus. I choose to place my faith in the deliverer, in the rescuer, and in the Savior who can save me and deliver me from all sin. I choose to believe my Bible when he says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, friends, we're going to end there tonight and take this up again tomorrow night. But these two enemies of holiness, Dr. Works, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. It's not a bad thing, but friends, it cannot cleanse your heart from all sin. And again, if you're stuck in that, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that get stuck in that, trying to do more, trying to do more, trying to do more, and they get defeated and they get discouraged. And if they don't continue to seek the blood of Jesus, they will give up and come short of the simple answer, which is coming to Jesus by faith and saying, Jesus, I'm going to trust your blood to cleanse me from this sin. Dr. Works will kill you. It'll work you to death. And doctor confusion, well, it's just human to sin. No, friends, it's carnal to continue in sin. It's human to walk with God, to know God, to love God. And that's where I want to live, and that's where I want you to live, my dear friends, to live in victory. Friends, here's the simple answer, and it's available to you tonight. If you've been battling this whole issue of holiness, maybe you've been battling it for years. Maybe you've heard it preached over and over and over again, and you've never been convinced of what it is and what it does and all that. Friends, trust the Word and trust Jesus. You're not going to have this any other way. You can't work it out. And even if you can't figure it out, that's okay. Still trust the word of Jesus, that if we walk in this light, amongst other light, but walk in this light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another in ways you never dreamed of, all bitterness and strife disappearing. You can just love your neighbor as yourself, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse and keep you clean continually from all sin. Are you willing to put your faith in him tonight and trust him to give you a clean heart? You remember I said the second title is, the church world has lost the vision of the simplicity of faith. All this hard preaching, it's a pretty simple message. You need to trust Jesus to give you a clean heart. So John is going to come and lead us in a song. If you haven't experienced this grace, as I asked last night, if you can't testify to the time this grace has taken place in your life and your heart, why not settle that and plant that right now at this altar of prayer at Manoma Holiness Camp 2017? Walk out of here, write it in your Bible, 2017, this date, I was sanctified holy. Will you let Christ do that for you today? Will you put your trust in him? Amen. Well, friends, if there are some ladies that can come and pray with these at the altar, I'd appreciate that. That first verse said, "This is my constant longing and prayer." And friends, I just want to say this to you. If you don't have that, then you need to be saved. I know that sounds tough to you. I'm a bigot and unloving. But friends, that's the way it is. I said it in a couple messages ago. When you're truly saved and you've experienced the incredible love of God in your heart, you purify yourself even as He is pure. You are longing for holiness. If you've lost that fire, if you've lost that sense of wanting to be all that Jesus would have you to be every day you get up and every day you live, come up to the altar and get it back. God's in the business of refreshing our souls and refilling our souls and blessing us and filling us all over again. But don't live there. Don't be content there. Allow God to come. So if you still need to pray here tonight, I'm going to close in prayer. But if you want to come while I'm praying yet and pray through, please do that. Don't let this night go short of the blessing that God wants to give you. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank You for these that have come and the hungry hearts. Lord, I pray that every one of us would have them and live with that heart constantly, day by day, hungry for holiness, hungry for You to work through us, hungry for You to use us. But Lord, that hunger comes from having a heart that's purified by faith. And that cleansing comes through Jesus' blood. So Lord, may Your blood be applied thoroughly on every soul in this place that needs it, upon those that are seeking. Glorify Your name. Lord, don't let this camp meeting go without making all of us all that You want us to be. And Father, for that, we'll give You all the praise and glory, because it's something only You can do. So we give You all the praise and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.